VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, my friends? It's Jeff here at the top of the episode. You will hear in the following episode that we faced some technical difficulties this week. Tim is in the middle of nowhere. He's not in the middle of nowhere. He's in Page, Arizona, but he's apparently at a hotel with the very first internet connection ever created. So he's going to fart and buzz and click his way through this episode. And so I had to do the last minute edit and get it to him as fast as possible so he could post it before heading into Bryce Canyon. So this is a warts and all as it happens episode. I apologize in advance for Ben and I dominating the conversation, which is not why anybody tunes into this thing. If you're Team Timmy, I'm so sorry. You're just going to have to deal with us this week. We didn't have Robot Lady. We didn't have Flannery. So you'll forgive me for my terrible imitation. But get ready for the 2017 albums episode of 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys.
How are you? We are putting this together with tin cans and strings, but it is.
Oh, boy.
We should
just make this into a bit. Tim's in the middle of nowhere, everybody. He's in the Utah desert with the very first Wi-Fi signal ever created.
By the way, 50-year-old white guys will know Rattlesnake Speedway in the Utah desert. That's where he is, apparently.
So he's in and out. So Ben and I are going to talk here for a second while Tim tries to fart his way back into consciousness.
And that's why the cop said, you're going.
Oh, that's cold.
That was so perfect.
How is everyone's summer going?
You go, Jeff.
Summer's great. I just got back from college pre-registration with the boy. He picked classes, and I stood around with the parents and, you know, made awkward chat about the weather in, Ottumwa, Iowa this time of year. It was great. Just got
What'd your
back.
Boy choose? What'd he choose? What'd he choose?
We are taking Asian visual art and culture.
Ooh!
Introduction to anthropology, which they call people, culture, and places. Introduction to environmental science and quantitative reasoning, which appears to be like a data analytics course for
math requirements. Yeah.
Kids who can't take calculus, basically.
That is awesome. Dolly is, in fact, an anthro major, so I like your guys' style. She's
nice.
She's been super. She started philosophy and then drifted to anthro.
Cool. So, all right.
I think it's pretty good.
And we'll be reading that purple Clifford Geertz, The Interpretation of Cultures book at some point, I assume. So
for sure.
How about the Bonnaroo report?
Yes. Made it back to the farm. Very excited. I can report that I was super happy to be back. Lineup, as we've discussed, was not aimed at 50-year-old white guys, and yet it was so fun to be there. It was such like a joyous group experience of humans that I was just really happy and enjoyed it anyways. George and her buddy Leah came, India Kincannon came, longtime listener Scott and Lisa came, so we had a really, really, really good time just meandering around and hearing shows and seeing stuff. It was great.
And
so I took I told the waitress that doesn't look like avocado.
Uh,
Solid gold.
Wait, I'm back in. I've got three bars for the minute.
Nice.
So I need to apologize.
This is awesome.
There's just no apology forthcoming.
At the mercy.
By the way,
apology. This is great.
Don't you wish that you could do that in various fights, especially a spousal fight? You'd be like, I need to apologize. Oh, I'm breaking up. Like, just fill in the blank for what I need to apologize for. You, whatever it is that you think it is, that's the thing.
That was exactly what I was about to say, and I got garbled. Really a shame. No, I've been traveling around too. I flew to Philadelphia and dropped the daughter off at the grandparents so she could go to sleepaway camp, and then hit Columbus on the way back, and now I'm just home. So this was a kind of a crazy week.
Yeah, for sure. That's a lot of travel.
It was fun though. It was
and deep fun. Travel, kind of heavy travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, totally. By the way, we just completely lost Tim.
Tim completely. You know what we should do is just talk about Tim. So when he hears this podcast, he'll understand how much we love him. We just
indeed.
General nice things about
we are Tim. Lost without him, no doubt. Hey, man, let's go to the Grammy winner.
Yeah. Okay. So the Grammy winner for 2000. I don't even know what year this is. Is this 2017?
It is. It is 2017.
Okay. So that's good.
He's sorry.
Wrong. The Grammy winner was a surprise for me. I'll be honest. I didn't see this one coming. But I like this guy. So we'll see what Ben thinks. If the Grammys got it right, or this is another example of them screwing up. Here it is.
This is not the robot lady. But coming up is Bruno Mars's 24K Magic.
I got a condo in Manhattan, baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited, so gonna get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami, wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner, Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it, got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it, take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac,
girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want,
just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby, you deserve it all. And I'm gonna give it to you.
Gold jewelry shining so bright. Strawberry champagne on us. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
Woo! So I have a mixed relationship with Bruno Mars. First record that was a gigantic hit is Unorthodox Jukebox, which is named that because it's just a cover album of other people's songs with his name on it. It's just like there's a Billy Joel song on it. There's a Police song on it. And then, of course, there's a million Michael Jackson songs on it. That's why the Grammys love it. This record's like that, too. That's a Michael Jackson song. It sounds like just 1988, a little shinier on the drum machine. Otherwise, just exactly the same. And this is, in my opinion, an example of personal growth. The girls didn't like, they loved Unorthodox Jukebox. And I was just a huge, unrelenting dick about it at first. Where they were like, don't you like this? I was like, no, I don't like it. And then I would like be like, this is the Police song that he's covering. Play it for them, which they didn't like as much. And they were mad. And they're like, that doesn't sound anything like it. And then I'd be like, this is the Billy Joel song. This, I got really mad about it. Then I was like, what am I doing? What's the point of this exercise? Why be a jerk about it? These songs sound like songs that came out when I was a kid that I liked. I should just be happy that people are still liking that kind of music. So I totally came around on it. By the time this album came out, I was like, sure, happy, fine. He's never going to be a Pantheon guy for me. Like, for example, I like The Weeknd a lot better than I like Bruno Mars in terms of like ripping off Michael Jackson X. But I can work with it, and I'm happy. Like, I'm just happy my girls like it, and that people like it.
Yeah, and I wish I could sing the line "Wake up with no jammies, nope," and be not the most ridiculous human who ever lived. Anybody who can sing those lyrics and pull them off has got to have something going on worth checking out. And I think Bruno Mars, disliking Bruno Mars is kind of like disliking Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Like, they're not great, but Huckleberry Hound is funny. and Bruno Mars is entertaining. And so that's how that's my relationship with him.
One other thing that makes me laugh really hard about this song is the list of things that he likes.
I know. It's such an awful list.
He apparently likes strawberry champagne on ice. And I was like, everything about that's wrong. Like, yep. That's so bad. What is going on with you, my good friend?
Oh, my God. It's awesome. So funny.
All right.
So, anyways, the Book of Mormon. We listened to it as we drove through the Utah desert. It's really redundant, and I did not like the album. And I want to confess that there may be albums I have picked where I haven't exactly listened to the entire album.
No.
You had to say that for this podcast?
I'm on a spiritual journey out here in the desert, and I just need to cleanse myself. Of all this stuff. Very nice.
Hopefully, like in the movie The Doors. So, that's what I'm hoping for.
So, oh, Jeff God. Simons, I asked you to prep a song of the band playing in Salt Lake City when we landed. I was sorry to have missed their gig. And I want to see who guesses the name of the band first, the listeners or Ben?
Oh, I'm already just mean-spirited.
I'm already disappointed in Ben.
Don't think sorry's easily said.
The listeners are singing along.
Don't
They've got their lighters out.
Turn tables instead.
I would never voluntarily listen to this. I have no idea who this is.
So I'm going
to
give you some hints. They did the Lady Hawk soundtrack. And that helps it all.
No.
I can't.
They're made fun of hilariously in the Austin Powers movies.
Knows what you're thinking.
Oh my
Miss
God.
Alan Parsons.
Oh, nice. No, I would not have gotten this under any circumstances. That's the sound of me hitting the changed radio station button right there.
I am the eye in the sky.
Oh, that's what that is? That's the chorus? Oh, I would have gotten that. When I heard that, I might not have known. I might have thought that was somebody else. I might have thought it was ELP, actually.
Or Little River Band.
They are playing in Salt Lake City in 2022. Isn't that extraordinary?
Hopefully at the Utah State Fair where they belong.
That is definitely State Fair band. It has State Fair written all over it.
That is rough. Well, I have all sorts of like history stuff. I think we should just skip it.
No, I think you should talk fast.
No, dude, give it to us while we can hear you.
This is great.
Okay, there is a shooting in Las Vegas.
Oh,
sorry. There was a total solar eclipse, which we discussed.
Yeah, I had friends who drove to Oregon and camped out for that. I was not one of them.
It was a meeting of a group of people in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Me Too movement gets started in earnest, and we were going to play a game of... In 2017, name a man whose career was derailed because of his past transgressions.
Oh my God.
Timmy. Dude, you're seriously like, and let's just add Ben Barton and Jeff Simons to that list after they play this game. We're out on this game, man. No way. No way. Although the Me Too movement does come up in my selection this year.
Yes.
Does it really?
Oh, hells to the yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to you've done the Grammy winner, I thought I heard.
Yeah, but we have not done the number one record.
Let's do the number one record of 2017. Did you tell everybody the name of the podcast?
No, we haven't done anything.
We're lost without you, man. We are
lost.
I'll
do a little, people will hear me say that and say, yes, you did, because I'm going to go back and do that in a second. So I did, Tim. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Very professionally.
All right.
Podcast.
Let's hit it. Number one.
It's the Grammy winner.
That's also the wrong voice. But this is Taylor Swift's Reputation.
There's glitter on the floor after the party. Girls carrying their shoes down in the lobby. Candle wax and Polaroids on the hardwood floor. You and me from the night before, but don't read the last page. But I stay when you're lost and I'm scared and you're turning away. I want your midnights, but I'll be cleaning up bottles with you on New Year's Day.
That's a fantastic selection, Jeff.
Thank you.
Super,
it's my favorite.
Pretty one. Yeah, that one's so good. That's one of George's favorites, too. She just absolutely loves that.
Very Dylan-esque. That's why I picked it.
Stop. Robot Lady is actually in the room, but...
But as a non-participant.
As a non-participant here at the Best Western in Page, Arizona. And if any Best Western executives are listening, the... Wi-Fi in Page, Arizona needs your attention.
Unbelievable.
As does the carpeting. All right.
You're not looking at a, we're not looking at a great Best Western tie-in free stays situation here with the podcast, Timmy. I thought marketing understood that, yeah. You know, you're looking for synergy, you know?
Yep. Yeah, once again, I hope the Best Western ad isn't popping up right after this.
Right, exactly. We'll be right back.
But by the way, have you guys done Zion?
Yes, I did Zion a long time ago. Pre-kids, yep. With Andrew Kincam. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Grand Canyon?
Yep.
Can't oversell it. Unbelievable.
No, I told you. You're going to think it's like Chevy Chase's Vacation, where you like look at it for 10 minutes, but it's just, can you believe that exists in the middle of the country?
It is insane. Insane.
It actually it is.
And like, so
at some point we should do the list. I have the Taj Mahal and the Grand Canyon as things that you cannot overhype, where you're just like, whatever it is you say about this thing, when you get there, it'll back it up. I guess I'd have to think more about it. About what else you should add to that list, but those two are definitely on it. The Grand Canyon is just like,
yeah.
And did you go North Rim or South Rim, Timmy?
North Rim.
North Rim's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes.
The thing that I love about the North Rim, first of all, it's closed. It's closed most of the year because of snow. Like, it's so high and so cold that it snows in. Second, you just have no hint of it on the North Rim. On the South Rim, you get a hint. First of all, there's a lot of traffic. But second, it's like, you know, you can see it's thinning out. There's like, you can tell that something really big is coming. The North Rim's like, which greatest thing you've ever seen. Completely off the hook.
It really is. It's amazing.
And so also, I love the green on top of the orange, yellow, blue. Like, the green is such an addition to that color palette. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's great. We're going to Buckskin Gulch today and then off to Bryce tonight.
Woo. And how much longer are you guys all out there together?
Friday.
Friday. Okay.
Nice.
You're halfway. That's great. The photos, if those of you who aren't with Tim on social media, they're posting adorable photos of all of them leaning out of the camper, and they're still all smiling, which is very impressive this late in the trip. I also love, and I don't know if the robot lady can hear me, but one of the things that the planes share is a love of technology. So Tim has a little bit of trouble with the whole Zoom thing. And Helen has twice said, here we are in Zion. And then the next post is, whoops, forgot the pictures, which I've been really enjoying that part as well. Well, geez.
Should we go to R3 albums?
He seems to be out again. I feel like we're a little, we should say meaningless stuff about at least one more topic before we cut to the records. That's what we usually do. But
wait.
Oh, there
we need a Bonnaroo update.
Yes, I gave a Bonnaroo update, but I can say I have I'll just give a highlight from each day. Thursday, Indigo D'Souza. That's the indie day, the weird day, the unsigned day. She was great. Friday, Georgia, her buddy Lee and I had the great good fortune to be on the rail, front row, nobody between us and J. Cole. And it's a longer story of how we managed to get in the pit first, but there we were. And I've actually, in all the years I've gone to Bonnaroo, I've never been in this exact spot on the biggest stage for one of the headliners. Like, it was insane. Like, you turn around and you're like, there's 45,000 people behind me.
Yes.
Just everyone is behind me watching this. He was fantastic. Saturday, we had the Jack Antonoff Run Super Jam that was based on the year 1984, and they played only songs from the year 1984. So you can imagine that was quite a joyous occasion for me. The funniest one, the most out of left field one, was "You Spin Me Right."
Nice, round, dead or alive. Right.
Oh, such a great call. So good.
Did they bring in Adam Sandler to do it from the, like, the Wedding Singer style? Or?
Antonoff himself sang it, so it was kind of off key. He's not much of a singer. Bless his heart, as we say in the South.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, country act, retro country act, Zach Bryan. First, I just love Zach Bryan. I just want to give the heads up to the listeners here. If you like Sturgill Simpson, you're going to like Zach Bryan. They originally had him on a Thursday night because he was a small act. His album came out a week and a half ago, was number one on the country charts and like one of the most downloaded albums of the year. So they moved him to Sunday.
Whoa.
And they had him in one of the tents, not on one of the main stages. And he was very inappropriate. Like, it was packed, packed. I knew it was going to be packed. So I went to the act beforehand, who I will not disrespect by saying who it is, but I sat through an entire set by the act beforehand, pushed as close as I could to the front. There were, I don't know, 50 people ahead of me. That act ended, and I was like, well, these people will leave and I'll get right up front. No one left. Everyone was there doing what I did. Like, there was a hardcore nut of people just pressed up front for Zach Bryan. And it was a great, great, great Bonnaroo tent show. He came out. He was like literally after the first song, he was like, I had a dream when I was a kid where I was sweaty and played a festival and drank whiskey. And now it came true. And then he went into the second song. Like, he was just right at the crest. Like, you can tell that when you see him 3 months from now, he's going to be much more over it. And then the second thing that Jeff will really appreciate is, you can imagine, he's got the A++++ band, with one exception that I'll explain in a second. So he's got a fiddle player that just absolutely shredded. He's got a super interesting, awesome lap steel guy who got up and played banjo when he felt like it. He's got an acoustic guitar guy who can play the piano and sing and cover everything. And then he's got this electric guitarist, his lead guitarist, who halfway through the first song, I'm like, wow, this guy is bad, like noticeably bad, like worse than I was in college when I was in a band with Jeff bad. The end of the show, he plays the fantastic, outstanding, exceptional song Revival. And he does a 12-minute version of it where it calls out everybody in the band in order. Everybody gets 24 bars to solo. So the stand-up bass guy does an unbelievable solo. I mean, the fiddle solo just tore the roof off of the place. And he gets to the poor electric guitar player, and each one he explains who they are, where they're from, and what they're doing. And he's like, oh, this is so-and-so. He's one of my best friends from childhood. Like, I grew up with this guy, and now I just take him on the road with me. So then the poor guy has to spend 24 bars soloing. And I mean, he literally is like teaching himself to play.
Unbelievable.
And at the end, Jeff, it was like me freshman year in college. Like, he actually did like a little attempt to do the Van Halen hammering on, which he hasn't learned how to do yet. I was like, oh, good Lord, buddy, just do the Chuck Berry solo and you'll be fine. But anyway, it was that kind of show. I was packed right up front with the super fans. Everybody knew every word to the lyrics. It was a jillion degrees and they were throwing out water to us. Everybody lost their mind. It was a great Bonnaroo moment for sure.
Oh, awesome. All right. Tent shows are the shows, man.
Yeah.
The shows in the tents are just
yeah. And especially so memorable. The thing that's fun about the place is like, you know, you get a whole bunch of people who are like, the place was packed and for Zach Bryan and all the way to the back, but you get people that are just check it out. But up front, it's like he's playing to the biggest group of his super fans he's ever seen in one location, all singing every word of the song.
That must have been unbelievable for him.
Oh, that's yeah, totally. Great.
I wonder if the act before Zach Bryan was like, yeah, I'm really packing him in tonight. This is awesome.
I do. I wonder about that too. Like, well, that's bigger than I thought it would be. Like, I'm crossing over.
I do think that that was happening, but the tents were not sequenced super well. So it was, and again, I'm not going to say who it is, but it was like a Beyonce light dance act. So she was not seeing a lot of boogieing amongst the people directly in front of her.
Just smiling politely, waiting for the next act.
Oh, that's great. All right, let's get to our three albums.
Ben, you're on fire. You should just go. You got your role with it.
Dokily. So I'm going to choose as my album one of the more unlikely stories of the music industry. So Kesha is the daughter of a songwriter who was trying to make it in Nashville. She's got one big country hit before Kesha becomes famous, and that's Old Flames, parentheses, Can't Hold a Candle to You. Originally recorded by some guy, but then re-recorded by Dolly Parton. It's a number one country hit, and is one of Dolly Parton's 15 biggest hits. And so PB is the name of the mom, and she's just basically dining off of this song and just trying to make it, like, just, you know, writing songs, playing out in Nashville. They live in Brentwood. They live in Nashville. And her daughter, Kesha, goes to high school in Brentwood, which, if you don't know, Nashville is the more conservative, rich suburb of Nashville, where a purple-haired Kesha was not in favor at the time. She is, ironically and hard to believably, super smart. She is admitted to Barnard, goes to Barnard for 3 weeks, and then drops out to pursue her musical career. Like, she's a legit intelligent person, which is very, very challenging to find given her early musical career. And we talked about her with the not good, but great single TikTok, which was the biggest hit of that year. And the album that she put out that year, which I think is, it's not Warrior, it's the other one, was just a massive gargantuan hit. And it's Animal. And then she puts out an EP, Cannibal, right on top of it. So she's got these two albums that come out. And for me, TikTok, We Are Who We Are, Your Love Is My Drug, like, these are all-time stupid pop songs, like, just right on the level with Groove Is in the Heart. Like, I just absolutely love them. I sing along with them. I think I said this already with TikTok, but TikTok is my go-to if you have to do karaoke. Like, I'm just hoping that they've got TikTok on there, because it kills. And believe me, having me do the rapping, just everybody gets, that's a good time for sure. These songs are about a very vapid woman who loves to drink and party and have sex with guys. Like, that's what, in that, I mean, obviously there's a whole oeuvre of that, but she was like at the pointy end of that oeuvre with these albums. And one of the things that's great about TikTok is it's so aggressively stupid. It's so over the top stupid that you actually kind of, like, I was like, oh, I wonder if this person is actually smart, or could it be possible that this person is that stupid? It's just amazing. And it turns out that she's a sort of a little bit of a pop savant genius. So next record comes out, Warrior. First song is the top 10 hit. Next three singles all die in the vine. Warrior is way less popular than the previous ones. And it's actually, you can actually see her career just kind of shriveling at that time. And basically Warrior, she did. So sometimes my advice to people has been like, oh, just do what you're good at. Like, why would you change your sound? And sometimes you learn why, because if you just keep doing TikTok over and over again, people grow tired of it really, really fast. And that's what happens in Warrior. It's a miserable, miserable time for her. She's does two seasons of a reality show. So she's like on TV 24 hours, like they're filming her 24 hours a day. I'll get into what's going on between her and Dr. Luke, her producer during this time. She's got bulimia. 2014, she checks herself into rehab. And in rehab, they won't let her have any electronics in her room because they're worried she's going to hang herself with a cord. Like, she's in that state mentally. She gets a little toy piano that just jingles as it plays, and they let her have that in her room, and she just goes on a writing binge. And from 2014 to 2017, she's just writing and writing and writing and writing. Oh, and I should have noted that. Yeah, she's like the co-writer of almost all of her big hits. Now, of course, when they came out, everyone was like, oh, she's like, Dr. Luke wrote those. Like, surely he just threw her a bone by putting her name on it. But it turns out that she's actually a pretty good songwriter, as we find out. So in the course of her therapy, she comes to grips with the fact that she's been, like, she, and I guess I should say allegedly, she's been abused by Dr. Luke. And so this, like, a huge lawsuit breaks out, and she's suing for intentional infliction of emotional distress. and the sexual assault, and he's suing for breach of contract, and they're going back and forth with each other. And this is why I mentioned the Me Too movement. It's like just before the Me Too movement really kicks in. And dude, she loses her lawsuit, and they won't let her out of the contract, and she has to record for Dr. Luke's label. Like, she actually records the album that I'm choosing this year, Rainbow, for Dr. Luke's
good label. God, I forgot that
and
piece of it.
He gets a chunk of the profits from it, and she just can't get out of it. So she records it all over the world, but it's really focused in Nashville, and it's got a real beautiful, in my opinion, stripped down acoustic sound. So I'm not going to choose the song Bastards, which is the first song on the album, but listeners of this podcast, if you haven't heard Bastards and you're like, Kesha sucks, just listen to Bastards. Like, it's a 2-minute, 53-second song that's like, don't let the bastards let you down, don't get you down. And just got a whole bunch of cursing in and stuff. It's a fantastic singer-songwriter solo acoustic song with her just sort of letting it all hang out as the first song on the record. This is actually this is another number one hit for her. She comes all the way back. This album's a massive, gigantic hit, much bigger hit than Warrior, despite being kind of a weird acoustic stripped down record. I love this record. Sometimes there's an album of the year where I'm like, I chose Saturday Night Fever. This is one where it was like, this was my album of the year. I listened to this a million times. The girls really liked it. Oh, and this was a triumph of the Ben Barton way of life. I was like, the new Kesha record. And they were like, Kesha sucks. Like, did you listen to Warrior? I was like, no, it's completely different. And they actually did like it. Really pleased with it. They liked it so much that me, India Kincannon, and Dahlia, and Georgia hauled our sorry butts to Nashville and saw her on the second show of her tour. So she opened the tour up in Birmingham so she could get the kinks out. Comes up and plays the Ryman Auditorium in downtown Nashville, the cradle of country music. A bold move for her, given that she's basically put out a half country record. Her mom comes out and sings with her. Oh, her mom writes several of the songs on this record. She covers Old Flames along with Dolly Parton. It's just a really, really, really likable record. And it's hard to describe how great the show was. The girls loved it. Georgia's, if not her favorite, it's in her top five favorite. She's a graphic tee gal. She's just, every day it's a different t-shirt for her. And her Kesha tour t-shirt from this show is one of her all-time favorites. Wears it proudly. It was a fantastic show. I had no idea, but Kesha's a big LGBT person. And so there was like a huge like rainbow coalition group of people there and people just freaking out and loving it. It was a great show. I'm going to choose the song Rainbow. Now, there are going to be people who hear this. In fact, I know I played this song for Scott Schimmel and he was like, that sucks. I hate you. There will be people who hear this and don't like it. So that's why I say start with Bastards if you want to actually be convinced. This one's my favorite one though. Oh, and the big hit off of it is Praying. And that's a gargantuan, massive top 10 hit. It's an Adele style piano ballad about that she's praying for Dr. Luke after all that he did to her. And it's a super powerful song. It's not my favorite though. Rainbow's my favorite because this is a getting better song. Jeff,
you're queued up and ready to go.
No, hold on. Two producers for this song. One, a well-known piano player from Nashville that you might've heard of.
Okay.
Who is it?
Oh, Ben Folds.
Ben Folds. Ben Folds is half of the production team. And the other half of the production team we've also mentioned, Rob Moose, multi-instrumentalist, violinist. He's the guy who organized Copycat Killer by Phoebe Bridgers. He's the arranger for that.
No way.
He's
okay.
He's the arranger for this. So I'm going to start at 58 seconds. The first 50 seconds of the song are just her playing the piano. And dude, like seeing this live, it's unbelievable. But I'm going to go at 58 seconds first because I like the second verse better than the first verse, but also so you can hear the beautiful, like very tasteful light strings and even like a little horn. I think there's an oboe going on at the end behind this. And this is a song about her finding herself in the darkness.
Okay, here comes the oboe.
I'd forgot how to daydream. So consumed with the wrong things, but in the dark,
I realize this life is short. And deep down I'm still a child. Playful eyes wide and wild. I can't lose hope. What's left in my heart's still made of gold. And I know that I'm still fucked up. But aren't we all, my love, darling? Our scars make us who we are. So when the winds are howling strong and you think you can't go on, hold tight, sweetheart. You'll find a rainbow, rainbow, baby. Trust me, I know. Life is scary, but just put those colors on, girl. Come and play along with me tonight. You gotta learn to let go. Put the past behind you. Trust me, I know. The ghosts will try to find you, but just put those colors on, girl. Come and paint the world with me tonight.
Oh, man. And the first verse, she dresses in black and she's so heartless. And then the end of the chorus is put those colors on, girl, and coming out with me tonight. Just, oh, every time it just totally gets me. So concerned with the wrong things. Life is scary, but you just have to lean into it. It just like is the perfect encapsulation of what this record is. And that she was able to pull herself out of the ashes of like a really, I mean, it's hard to imagine a worse 3-year period than she had before this, including losing a lawsuit. And they're forcing you to keep working with this guy who raped you.
Yeah.
Really, really, really unbelievably bad coming into it, but unbelievably powerful coming out of it. And this song just captures it all for me. This is my favorite song from the record now. It's the one that's still on my running mix. It never doesn't move me. It always moves me every single time I hear it. It's such a beautiful reaction to art and to music and to her life.
Woo! PhD from Ben Barton. Wow. That was awesome. What everybody doesn't know who is listening at home is that Tim lost his connection for about 5 seconds into Ben's starting, and he just came back. So he has no idea what just happened.
Well, I know that Kesha had a rough time and that Ben likes to sing TikTok.
and who doesn't I know lost those two it. Things? Those are universal truths.
Yes, it's true. Everybody knows that.
I cannot wait to listen to this podcast.
One of the things that's so interesting, right, is like this, one of the things that Spotify is doing is that kids are discovering whole new genres through the one artist they're willing to listen to, right? So, you know, you bring up these artists and like they did a total left field. I'm a little cynical about that. Like, I hope it's real and it's not like, hey, you're the only person anyone's listening to. So make a singer-songwriter record because you'll go get all those people too. Like, now you can introduce everybody to what techno sounds like. Now you can introduce everybody to electric guitars. Like, it is amazing. Like, and teaching kids in a rock music class every year where they're like, have you ever heard anything that sounded like this? I'm like, yeah, that's Pink Floyd. Or yes, that's the Rolling Stones. They're pretty good, aren't they? But they don't know those things. They only know them through this modern filter. Uh-oh. We had trouble in the hotel room there. That's all right. So I just think I'm cynical about Kesha. I will take your word for it that I shouldn't be. That was great. I loved the little A flat moment with the like Jew's harp going on in the background there and the bridge. That was terrific. So, and I mean, I wish I could perform art that nakedly one-dimensional without being cynical or distrustful of my own self. Like, all the art I make has a wink to the side. Even the ones where I'm trying to do hard on my sleeve, I don't trust my own heart. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever feel an emotion as purely and without concern that I'm lying to myself as that song professed. So it's good to have that around to remind me of the possibility, I think.
And I will just say, I think that's ungenerous. I think that's ungenerous of our gal Kesha in the following way. She's like a hair metal band that tried to do grunge. Like she was a massive gargantuan star associated with a very extra mega specific sound. And she didn't like take a left turn. She just took a U-turn, like got on a plane, went to another continent and did a whole different thing. That's the first thing I'll say.
Okay. Aren't Eagles of Death Metal on this record?
Yeah, totally.
On a bunch of tracks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Dap Kings, I mean, it's great.
That's cool.
Bastards, this song, Praying. These are hard genres to be good at.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really hard to write a good singer-songwriter song with just you and a guitar singing, whether you're Kesha or whoever you are.
Everyone's got one. I give a lot of credit when it's hard to write two. I think that's totally right. Everyone's got one. Because everyone's everyone discovers F sharp minor and like, oh, look what I did. But to write a second one is really, really hard.
Yeah. All right, man. What's your call?
All right. I'm going local boy again. It's 2017. And we're going to talk about a no longer young man, but a man I always think of as a young man, Mr. Chuck Prophet. Chuck Prophet is a San Francisco treasure. He first came into the music business as part of a band called Green on Red that sniffed the edges of the kind of alternative music hit. They reminded people of Green on Red. I mean, sorry, they reminded people of R.E.M., kind of a jangly guitar thing. But Chuck went solo in, I believe, 1991, and he has been making a reliable record every 2 to 3 years for the last 30 years. Like, one of the things you're going to struggle with Chuck Prophet is, where the hell do I start? This guy's got so many records. James DePrado, who comes up a lot on this podcast, who played all the impressive guitars on my own record, has been Chuck's right-hand man since 2004. So we're all acquaintances. And a lot of my musical life is based around working around Chuck's schedule when James is out of town touring with him. But Chuck got better and better. One of the things that's interesting, I think, is most guys, it burns white hot in their youth. And then by the time they hit our age, you know, they just don't have anything left to write about, right? And Chuck is really the opposite. Chuck has only gotten better. I'm going to mute you, Timmy, because you're crackling, but just unmute yourself anytime you need to say something. Chuck keeps getting better. He keeps writing about more interesting things. He keeps kind of pushing in deeper to his insights. I thought he went from good to great with a 2014 record called Temple Beautiful, which is kind of a concept record about San Francisco in the 70s. So it's songs about Jim Jones and songs about what happened to City Hall and being a kid and growing up in the Castro as the scene is all changing. And once he allowed himself to see his records, not as the collection of his 12 most recent great songs, but as songs that were going to tie together, I think he took it to a whole new level. Temple Beautiful is probably my favorite, but this is my second favorite Chuck record. And it was my favorite of this year. It's a record called Bobby Fuller Died for Your Sins. And it is one of those records full of in jokes. Like, it's a hipster's record. He's name dropping people up, down, and all around. Bobby Fuller is the kid who performed "I Fought the Law" and was found dead in his car like 3 weeks after it went to number one in Los Angeles in 1960. A kid from El Paso, Texas, who moved to Los Angeles with his brother and two other friends to be rock and roll stars and actually made it happen. And then was found dead in his car 2 weeks later. And it's a mystery. It looks like he fell asleep in his car with the engine running and died of carbon monoxide poisoning. It's an accidental, not a sinister death, but he's like the Buddy Holly for hipsters, right? Like it's a what if story. So he's name checked on this record. The last song on the record is called Alex Nieto. That's the name of the San Francisco Giants fan that was beaten almost to death by Los Angeles Dodgers fans on opening day of that season at Dodger Stadium. There's a song called If I Was Connie Britton, who is the star of Friday Night Lights. There's a song called Jesus Was a Social Drinker, which is not the one I'm going to pick, but is
very funny. And there's a song called Bad Year for Rock and Roll, where Chuck name checks everybody who died in 2017, Prince and several others, David Bowie. There's a song called In the Mausoleum for Alan Vega. What I think Chuck was doing in 2017 was he wanted to name check the people that were inspiring him, but he also was realizing that there's an end game to this whole thing, that we all face our own mortality, and we're all at some point going to be compartmentalized and boxed in the way other people see us, much like the hundreds of thousands of people that listen to this podcast, right? Have an image of us that they, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to play my favorite song on the record, which is not any of those name check songs. It's called Your Skin. And it's a great introduction to Chuck Prophet, because Chuck is a classic verse, chorus, verse, bridge songwriter. He is a classic first line turn of phrase. People have called him the working man's Tom Petty. And it is not an insult. It's just an accurate. He's got a lot of Tom Petty's natural songwriting. But he's a little weirder than Tom. He's a little more interested in what's around the gritty corner of the street rather than what's on the street itself. And he's just he's spectacularly reliable. I keep waiting. I've been waiting for Chuck to throw a dud for over a decade now, and he just doesn't. He just makes one great record after another. I could pick a lot of different songs from this record. Rider of the Train is just a perfect song, but Your Skin will give you an idea of where Chuck fits and how he pushes against that boundary of where he fits. And it's from, again, the record's called Bobby Fuller Died for Your Sins. And here we go. He's a burner. One good one after another.
So here's the top five on Spotify. See if you agree.
Okay.
Summertime Thing.
That's a big hit. It's fun, but no, definitely not a great Chuck song.
You mentioned it. Jesus Was a Social Drinker.
Yep.
No Other Love.
That's a good one. That's an old one. That's from the first record. So that's been around forever.
Summertime Thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Marathon.
Marathon's good. Yeah.
Ford Econoline.
Ford Econoline is great. Ford Econoline's about touring and is just great. That's a great one. I also really, really love Willie Mays is Up at Bat. That's his
best
song.
One of your favorites.
I just love that one. But he's got a whole bunch of great ones, like Doubter Out of Jesus is great. Like I said, Rider of the Train from this record. I mean, Chuck's one of those guys going to tour the country in Europe every other year. He's going to play to 300 to 800 people, depending on the town. And everyone's going to walk away like, that's why I go out. That's I remember now. That's why you go to a rock concert. Like, he's hilarious. The band is great. He's great. And he knows his own material really well. So when you go see Chuck, like you get a 17 song show that just that fits like a glove, and you're like, oh, good, that one. Oh, I'm glad he played that one too. Like he's a really great cherry picker of his own material. That's his wife Stephanie on vocals. She's and she brings a like having her on stage playing keys and singing backup. It breaks the mold of like here's a bunch of sweaty dudes playing rock and roll. Like she brings a lightness of being to it that allows him to kind of relax and crack jokes and be funny. It's good stuff.
That's awesome.
All right. Great. So speaking of sweaty dudes playing rock and roll, Ben, I saw a band from Knoxville a few weeks ago when I brought Martha to college for her orientation. Have you heard of Betcha?
No. How were they?
Uh-oh.
No, you're here.
How going were they? In and out.
Just talk. Boy. You're good. We hear you. Talk. Rough.
All right.
I wanted to ask Tim if he'd heard of MJ Lenderman, who's getting tons of buzz and is apparently from Nashville. Nashville. Yeah.
He is he's my doctor's son.
No yeah. way.
So he's my intern. Yeah. Dr.
Is he
Knuckles.
Dishing out some bad medicine?
It's his kid.
Well, he blew up. Pitchfork gave him 8.4, and he's gonna spend the next year playing anywhere he wants.
That is so fun. That is great. All right, but we got to get on the road. We've got Buckskin Gulch and Bryce, and then Capitol Reef, Canyonlands, and Arches. So we're gonna go with Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, the Nashville Sound. I know I picked If We Were Vampires for Song of the Year, but this album has a whole bunch of bangers. Have we played Hope the High Road Brings You Home Again?
Have not. You want to go with that?
Do it.
Well, since I am. Yeah, let's.
Coming up.
I used to think that this was my town. What a stupid thing to think. I hear you biting off a breakdown. I myself am on the brink. I used to want to be a real man. I don't know what that even means. Now I just want you in my arms again. And we can search each other's dreams. I know you're tired and you ain't sleeping well. Likely man as hell. But wherever you are, I hope the high road leads you home again. I've heard enough of the white man's blues. I've sang enough about myself. So if you're looking for some bad news, you can find it somewhere else. Last year was the son of a bitch for nearly everyone we know. But I ain't fighting with you down in the ditch. I'll meet you up here on the road. I know you're tired.
All right. I'll be playing that as I drive through the desert. I think Flannery, I think that kind of hits her. Right? That'll resonate with a 14-year-old girl.
I would imagine there's a possibility. And so you're traveling till next Friday. Is that correct?
But don't worry, I will be out of the van, out of Best Westerns. If we could get together next weekend, I will have something resembling the internet.
Well, that would be great. I wasn't worried about that. I just want to make sure you remember to bring all the kids home with you. Don't leave one of them in Bryce. And don't trade them. Don't trade one of them for goods and services. No matter how cool the thing looks, it's not worth it. You should bring them all home.
So
we did get stuck.
You go.
Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
No, you go.
We did get stuck at a Lake Canyon, Lake Powell, Sandy Beach yesterday. I had to have a man with a bigger truck come and help me out. It's all about knowing your skill sets.
So I was a huge early Drive-By Truckers fan. Like Southern Rock Opera was on my list for 2001. I freaking loved Southern Rock Opera. Then I think I liked the Dirty South even better in 2004. I saw them at Sundown in the City in Knoxville, Tennessee on Market Square twice, 2007 and 2010. Then I saw them at Bonnaroo too. I'd seen them multiple times around this area. I guess I can't remember the story where Isabel gets fired or whether he leaves or he breaks up with the woman in the band and is drinking too much or whatever the combination of things is. He leaves the band. And it was a super similar to the Uncle Tupelo thing where I was like, oh, you know, I don't like either of these bands as much as I liked Uncle Tupelo at first. That was how I felt about it. And I weirdly kind of held it against both of the bands. I'm in the opposite camp now. I'm now exactly where I was in a healthy spot with Wilco and Sunvolt, where I'm like, these guys are great. These are great.
Yeah, I know.
Isbell's great. These records are great. I'm super happy about that. The Drive-By Truckers continue to be just excellent. Like
I know. I saw the Truckers without Isbell. Yeah, I saw the Truckers without Isbell, and they kicked an incredible amount of ass. I was like, this is a win-win. It's like, I mean, I know you have the same feeling, Ben. This is like when Peter Gabriel left Genesis.
Oh, yes, exactly.
We got
two. They doubled the output, which
doubled the pleasure.
That was, you took a page out of my book right there, Jeff Simons. That was good. Way to jump in with the hosting duties.
No, dude. And then when Mike and the Mechanics spun off, we just think of all the different.
Mike and the Mechanics.
We had so many different versions of that band, for sure.
Gentlemen, we're packing up the van.
Go get him, friend.
That's right, man. Enjoy.
I will try to limp this thing to the public in your absence. So,
all right. See you later.
Bye.
All right, later on. And well done, Jeff, as quasi-host. Good job.
Yeah, you too, sir. We did great. Now that he's not here, I think we really did great. Don't you think we did great? He's feeling more and more like dead weight every single time we do one of these.
Strongly disagree. Couldn't disagree more. All of the awkward pauses in the first half where we were like, wait, what's going on now?
I know.
So good.
God, all right. I'll see you next week.
Later on.
Bye.
The 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys podcast is hosted on the Electricast Podcast Network. You should check it out. They've got a lot of really amazing shows, and we're thrilled to be in their company. We'll see you next week for 2018, and let's hope for a little bit more internet cooperation. Thanks, everyone, for your patience, and have a great week.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast? Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electricast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electricast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electricast.com and join our community today.
Electricast. Transform your influence.
Electricast. Electricast.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Electricast.